RadioArchives.com presents King Crime, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon. Read by Paul Curtis. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, King Crime.
Chapter 1. Murder for Sale. He was of medium height, medium weight, had medium brown hair and a medium complexion. He might have been actually named Mr. Medium. He was of the type which, when it turns to crime, becomes the despair of industrious detective officers, seeking descriptions from the eyewitnesses. There was nothing about him to describe. Even his blue serge clothes were inconspicuous and ordinary. A thousand such as he pass any busy corner every rush hour. The house Dick in the lobby of the great hotel didn't waste a glance on him as he walked toward the elevators. Didn't even see him. The elevator boy wouldn't have remembered the floor at which he got off if questioned 10 minutes later. All of which goes to show what human ingenuity can do with the idea of protective coloring, so helpful to hunted wild things. Mr. Medium might very well become an object of police attention at any moment if his affairs went wrong. He might need his protective coloring. For Mr. Medium was a salesman, a broker, if you please, of murder. He went down a corridor, turned a corner, opened a door, and walked into the living room of a suite without knocking. Two men awaited him. One, a nervous, hard-eyed, swarthy young man with an evil droop to his eyelids. The other burly and gruff-voiced. "Well, gentlemen," said Mr. Medium, dropping into a chair and waving away the proffered refreshments. "Can you contact King Crime?" asked the swarthy one, leaning forward, his eyes glittering. Mr. Medium shrugged very slightly. "We waste time," he said, "and I have no desire to be found in the company of either of you, if you don't mind. You know why I am here. You know who sent me. The details, if you please, gentlemen." The big man spat out an obscene phrase. "This here King Crime gives me a..." But here his companion gestured him to silence. "Never mind," he snapped. "King Crime works his own way, but he delivers the goods." "All right, friend. You want cards on the table, eh? Here they are. We want Butch Smith's, and his head guy's bumped." "So what?" Mr. Medium showed no astonishment, save for a momentary, scarcely notable widening of his eyes. "Quite an order," he murmured. $25,000, cash on the line, now." He waited, watching the other two as they turned to each other with profane expostulations. "I thought you said $10,000.
"Listen, it's up to you to raise..."
Mr. Medium rose. "Gentlemen," he said in his quiet, ordinary voice, "please, I am not here to listen to your arguments. You have dealt with my principal before. You know quite well that he does not haggle, nor does he fail, once he has accepted a commission. Bumping Butch Schmitz isn't a job for punks that can be picked up on any street corner. It means a howl for investigation in every newspaper of the country. Even the G-men may become interested if any interstate angle is suspected. And their man, Fowler, is a bloodhound whose nose may sniff out an interstate trail."